Welcome, everybody, to Horror Movie Yearbook. I am your host, Tim Long, one of your hosts, and I am joined by my co-host,
Willie Gibbs.
Good job.
Yeah, thanks, man.
No problem.
Appreciate it.
No problem. Yeah, we really nailed that intro, I think.
Oh, God. Just stuck the landing.
Yeah. 12 episodes in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feeling
we're
pretty great
to
about
used
it.
Used to it.
Yeah, 13 if you count our commentary episode, which we should plug real quick. If you haven't checked it out, check out our commentary episode for Friday the 13th, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan.
Jason Takes Manhattan, yes.
It was a lot of fun to record. Hopefully it's a lot of fun to listen to.
Yeah.
Let us know if you have any ideas for future commentaries you want us to do.
I think we stayed away from offending too many people.
Yeah.
We were drinking a little bit.
A little bit.
Like
reasonable.
Two beers.
Yeah, we had a couple beers apiece.
Yeah.
Yeah, it got loosened up a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
You have to drink to watch that movie, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think it's good. It's good. It's good for the soul if you have a couple drinks.
It doesn't hurt.
No.
Yeah, check that out. That's up on the feed, on the website. Check out the Game Nerds. They're reviewing probably Zelda again. What's the one that just came out today? Something big just came out yesterday.
Mass Effect.
Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Something else. And so they're probably going to be talking about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have their
They play a lot of Zelda, though.
Yeah, they do. I've been playing a lot of Zelda.
Yeah, you do,
it's
too.
It's so good. Willie.
Yes.
We played bingo last night.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
We went to the Knights of Columbus Hall and played bingo.
We
I just
did.
Wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
You know, because you listen to a lot of, like, podcasts. Say, for instance, like Shockwaves or like the Movie Crypt, and they're like, we were at the New Bev last night.
Yeah.
And then they're like,
we went to Trivia Night.
We went to the New Bev. They're the greatest marathon you've ever heard of in your life.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? You listen to us. We play bingo at
the
Knights of Columbus.
That's a pretty solid analogy for like the where we're at.
Yeah.
Level wise.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, so yeah, what you guys don't know about us is we're 75 years old.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we sound really young and full of life, but
and we know very little about things that happened before like 1984, 86.
Yes,
which is weird.
Our memories are
a little
shaky, but we're doing okay.
But it was fun. Yeah, if you get the chance to go play bingo, go do it.
Go play bingo.
You play Canadian Rules bingo. From what I heard.
Yeah, I hear it's nuts.
We have a friend that goes over to Canada, plays bingo, says it goes by, you can do a round in about 2 minutes.
Yeah, essentially they have an auctioneer naming off the bingo numbers.
It sounds like some sort of, like, it sounds almost illegal over there. Like, it sounds like some sort of gambling ring,
yeah,
the way
sounds,
he was describing it.
Yeah, I don't know that he went to an actual bingo hall. I'm going to have to research this further.
All right, enough about bingo, sadly. Willie, we got some feedback?
Yes, and don't forget, you can leave us feedback, like these fine folks. First place you can leave us feedback is Twitter, at HM Yearbook. Much like Anna Katrinette, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing that, I'm going to go Anna Katrinette, on Twitter, she got a hold of us. And she apparently wants us to do that Frank podcast we mentioned on our class of 87.
As in Hellraiser Frank.
Frank Cott.
He's a gentleman, he was the... He's the guy that bounces around the globe. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, here's what I think we do for that.
Mm-hmm.
I think you and I get together. We pound out a choice of words there.
Frank would appreciate that choice of words.
You're very crass, boy.
Yeah.
We pound out a script.
Okay.
You and I pound out a script. We get about five or six people together. We record some sort of table read.
Okay.
For our Frank Origins script.
I like that. I like that.
It's not going to be much. I'm going to assume it's going to be... like an origin of orgies is what
okay.
I like to think of it as. I assume there's going to be a lot of him saying, I've been up in the mountains.
Yeah.
Because that's sexy is when people do that.
I envision it as something a little different. I envision it as like a where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Yeah.
But where in the world is Frank Cotton?
Yeah.
And you have to guess where he's at based on the person he's having sex with.
That's not bad either.
Yeah.
That's not bad either.
Yeah, different cultures have different kind of sexual, you know.
Hold on to that. He does not appear in any of the other Hellraiser movies, does he?
I don't think so.
No.
He does appear in 2, briefly.
Does he appear in 2?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's been a while. Because 2 is nowhere to be found, if I recall.
Yeah.
It's like really hard to find.
Disappeared.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I know. He's in that for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. We can table that and come back to that idea as a game.
Yeah.
It'll be like
where in the world is Frank
or geography.
Yeah.
Where Frank is having sex.
We might not have insulted anybody with our commentary, but we will definitely insult people when we start talking about where in the world is Frank Cotton. Thank you for that feedback. That's wonderful. You can also reach us on Facebook, facebook.com/horrormovieyearbook, or you can email us horrormovieyearbook@gmail.com. Like the good, great, and wonderful Jason Kimmel did. Mm-hmm. Jason says, I've been watching Friday the 13th movies in order for shits and giggles. I can't read. This is probably bad. They are so horrible, it's amazing, like horrible in a good way. The remake that came out somewhat recently wasn't that great, in my opinion, because it was too competent a film. Honestly, that's the most valid reason I've heard for hating it. I think the final chapter is my favorite. Agreed. Jason Lives is also great because it was the first one to really go crazy. Jason X is the best party movie. Anyways, thanks for that commentary episode. Hope you guys do more of them. We definitely will. And thank you, Jason.
Jason says they're so most of them, he said, are so horrible they're good, right?
Yes.
And I think I would... I mean... But the ones he listed off as his favorites are like the ones that I would defend.
They're like the good ones.
Borderline being like
I think
good
he falls
movies.
In line with us pretty.
I think he does too.
Yeah, pretty well. Although I like the remake.
I do too.
Although if you're going to make an argument for not liking it being too competent, it's probably an honest.
Yeah. You're fair enough. Yeah. I'll go with that. It is very slick.
Yeah.
For Friday the 13th.
It's a bit polished maybe.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The great Sandy Connell, co-host of Films of Every Color. Wonderful podcast. It's on iTunes. I've been listening to it. It's great.
Yeah,
it's
I just fantastic. Listened to their Moonlight episode. It's really good.
Yep. You should definitely check it out. Films of Every Color. That's Kalour, Colour.
Yes, they're from across the pond.
Yeah. They spell stuff cool. Sandy says, Ni hao, horror scholars. Once again, I have to commend your continuing great work on the podcast and your coverage of so many films I must add to my grisly watch list. Top of the list right now are Prince of Darkness, The Scariest Place on Earth, The Abominable Dr. Fibes, and Near Dark, long overdue for a rewatch. I've seen all but one of those. I've not seen Scariest Place on Earth. Have you seen that?
No.
So you've just added one to our list.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sandy. I'm hugely grateful to the two of you for reviewing In the Mouth of Madness Before Christmas, a film which I could only recall the haziest impressions. I bought the DVD as a Christmas present for my podcast co-host James, and we watched it in a Sam Neill Goes Insane double bill with 1981's Possession.
Oh,
highly
my
recommended
God.
For both of you. We are fans of Possession over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And that sounds like the best double feature I've ever heard.
Right. Did he watch Possession first?
You know what? Sandy, let us know.
Yeah.
Great job on your episodes covering 77 and 2002 in particular. It's always nice to hear some credit for how awesome British horror movies are. On that note, don't forget to include The Wicker Man when you travel back to 73. For you, Sandy, we will not forget. Looking at a list of horror films of 1988 reminds me how many blind spots I have to cover in my horror knowledge. Scratch that. Listening to you two reminds me of that every episode of the podcast. Given that Maniac Cop is the only Bruce Campbell film I've ever seen that I did not enjoy, I'll have to say that my favorite horror of 1988 is Evil Dead Trap. At the risk of only seeming to advocate J-horror in my emails, I would highly recommend that you check out this grimy, unrepentantly nasty snuff movie-themed slasher from director Toshiharu Ikeda.
Ikeda. Looking at this right now.
I came across it on VHS when I was a wee gore pup, and Britain was suddenly awash with hasty reissues of previously banned video nasties and restored cuts of censored films. This just hit me, and I've read this email multiple times because it's like the most delightful email that I've ever heard. Thank you, Sandy. But... Sandy, we should find some way to have you on at some point so we can talk video nasties with you.
Yeah.
Because you would understand video nasties better than we would.
Yes.
Yes. That'd be very cool. Though Evil Dead Trap had never been released in the UK during the more reactionary years of the state censor, the BBFC, many British horror zines mentioned it in the same breath as Zombie Flesh Eaters because it's of its eyeball-piercing scene. And it was one of the more obscure objects of affection for early advocates of the J-horror.
Boom. I'm watching that eyeball-piercing scene right now.
Pretty great?
Oh, my God.
Okay, good. keep up the great podcasting and keep the love coming for John Carpenter. Listening to you guys has educated me greatly on his movies, on Carpenter. Best wishes from scary Southeast London, Sandy. Sandy, that was awesome. And you know what? That's very cool, too. It especially makes me happy to hear that we've, you know... maybe not turned you on to Carpenter, but maybe, I don't know, inspired you to watch a couple that maybe you haven't seen or haven't seen in a while. That's awesome.
Revisit.
That makes it worth it for me.
She just tripped the wire, and this looks like this big blade. Oh, my God. Go type in suspenseful kill scene, Evil Dead Trap, everybody.
You got to rewind this for me.
And just watch.
As you carry us into the next section, I want to watch this. Because
this is it's an Evil Dead Trap. She's about to... trip the Evil Dead.
But yeah, that's it for feedback this week. Please, by all means, let us know. Talk to us.
Right. Willie's face.
Whoa.
Yeah, she just gets it to the head.
This is pretty great.
Yeah. This is what the rest of the show will be. Just us doing some
commentary.
Just going, as we watch Evil Dead Trap. All right. Yeah, that's all I got for this week. As far as getting ready to go back in the time machine. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Sounds good. Sorry, my mic is crappy. Let's go back in time to the year of 1988.
Whoa. That's me getting sucked through the vortex.
Through the time vortex.
Whoa.
Very good.
I'm two.
Good. We're in 1988. You're two.
Yeah.
I'm four.
All right.
You want to know what's going on right now?
Let's hear it.
Yeah, let's hear it. Robert C. McFarlane, former national security advisor, pleads guilty in the Iran-Contra case. U.S. Navy ship shoots down Iranian airliner in Persian Gulf, mistaking it for a jet fighter. Whoops. Democratic Convention nominates Governor Michael Dukakis of Massachusetts for president and Texas Senator Lloyd Benson for vice president. Oh, that's right. We're at the last year of the Reagan administration.
Ah.
And we are leading into, because Republican Convention nominates George Bush Sr.
H-dubs.
And Indiana Senator Dan Quayle.
Dan Quayle.
Yeah, Dan. Yep. What's the big thing? He couldn't spell or something.
I don't know.
Yeah, he wasn't.
He's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's all right. Bush Sr. won big time. What's funny about Bush Sr. is I don't think he ever really wanted to be president.
I
especially got that vibe from him, like, the second go-round. Like, when he ran again, he was like, I guess I'm just running again. Because remember, what's-his-name took all his votes, old Ross
Perot.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. I guess I was always wishing that his presidency would just end with him and Saddam just in a boxing ring. two men enter, one man leaves kind of thing.
Because
it seemed like that was kind of like...
That's where it was leading to?
That always felt like that was his presidency, was the grudge match.
Well, I mean, that would have been helpful because... If we could have got that done quickly, Iraq carries out poison gas attacks on the Kurds this year,
yes.
Which would end up leading to us going to war over there. A new drug, crack, appears increasingly found in U.S. cities. I'm not sure if that's like this is the exact year. I'm guessing it was probably floating around.
I'm sure
this is when it. I think this is when crack hit the mainstream.
It was named and.
Yeah, because we're getting out of the 80s now. Like, cocaine is passe. I mean, people are still doing it. And the Winter Olympic Games are held. In Calgary, Alberta, Canada, home of Bret the Hitman Hart. Mm. Oh, I wanted to do this real quick.
Mm.
Kids' toys from 1988. We're both youngsters around
80s
then.
Toys are fun.
Yeah. So I found a couple. Looks like gender-neutral, gender-specific toys. So I guess everybody can like any of these toys. But they had them separated that way.
Okay.
The first one is a Tasty Bake Oven, which I think is probably an easy bake oven.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never had one of those. The second one is called a Body Wrap. And we're going to look this up real quick because I don't know what this is.
A Body Wrap?
R.A.P.
Okay.
Yeah, R.A.P. Yeah. It is...
I'm not familiar with that one.
It's... I'm looking at it. It looks like it's... It seems to be like a Walkman type deal that you just put all over your body. Like, you just put it on different parts of your body.
Okay, so it's a Walkman that you can attach to, like, it looks like a Rob Liefeld drawing.
Exactly.
Where you got
pouches.
Plenty
of pouches everywhere. Yeah. I'm sorry. You touch them. These are touch sensitive pads that say body rep when you press them. So what happened is rap hit white people, and we made
and
this
was the answer. Wow.
Yeah, rap hit the suburbs.
Oh god, I'm sorry.
This is what came.
I'm not responsible for the body rap, but I feel kind of guilty.
Footnotes are the things from they're just a smaller version of the thing from Big.
Yes,
where he got on there and played
the keyboard
piano. Power Wheels Corvette for the lady, for the girls.
Okay,
a big one. A Play School Kitchen.
Okay. I always liked the cool like kitchen setups and stuff you could get.
Yeah.
Those are pretty neat.
Yeah, I had like friends that had those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I never had one. I never had a kitchen.
I had a tool bench one.
Did you?
It was very manly.
That is very manly. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I got it out of my system pretty early, so that's good.
Yeah. A Cricut tool. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
I have no idea what
not
that
familiar
is.
With that.
I'm not going to look it up either because it doesn't sound real interesting. Oh, a Cricut doll. Whatever. Barbie TV game show set.
Okay.
Baby Grows.
Okay.
I don't like that.
That
I don't
like
the sound of that.
Too.
For the boys, we have a cops vehicle. You remember the show Cops?
Oh, they made an official cops car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember that show?
I do. Bad Buzz.
No. This was COPS. Like, these were like, let me find out what it was. This is not Cops.
Whoa.
Cops, it was a cartoon.
See, I remember this. I remember Cops, like,
See, this is about the time when I like start remembering like pop culture stuff. Because like when we get to the music later on, like I remember listening to this stuff when I was really younger.
Mm-hmm.
COPS stands for Central Organized Police Specialists. It was a specialist. It was an animated show released by Deke Entertainment. You remember Deke? They did the Ninja Turtles cartoons.
Oh, cool.
It was about cops.
I did not know this show.
Yeah, Empire City. They were running crazy through Empire City. Mayor Davis requests federal assistance. This is a really deep plot for...
Yeah, it sounds dark.
I remember it kind of was. It was only on for a year. Maybe that's why you don't remember it.
I wonder if there's like a crack episode. Like a don't do crack episode.
I would assume
like a
so.
Lesson, you know?
I would assume so.
Yeah.
Tank attack game. It's apparently you just attack people with tanks.
Sign me up.
Power Wheels, Power Truck. Yeah, the gender roles are very specific with these toys. Mm-hmm. That are on this deck.
Yeah, they are.
And then, of course, Transformers.
Yes. Who could forget?
More than meets the eye. All right, we're going to do the top 10 movies real quick.
Okay.
Because I like doing this with you. Number 10, Beetlejuice.
I'm a fan.
I'm a fan, too. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite Tim Burton movie, probably.
Okay. Yeah, it might be mine, too.
Yeah.
I had to think.
The only one I can... Yeah, it's probably my favorite. I like Edward Scissorhands.
Scissorhands is really good,
too. Edward's really good, too.
Yeah.
It's probably still Beetlejuice. Number 9, Cocktail.
Oh, boy. There you go.
Yeah, it's something else. Cocktail's pretty silly, if I recall.
Yeah. I think one of the films that we're talking about opened the same weekend as Cocktail.
I believe you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Number 8, The Naked Gun, Part 1.
Awesome.
Yeah. The best Naked Gun, although 2 is really good.
OJ creeps his way back into our podcast.
Hey, OJ's really funny in those movies.
He is.
He's really funny.
Yeah, he is funny.
Hey, he may have murdered people, allegedly. But
yeah.
He's very funny in the Naked Gun movies.
At least he's humorous in the Naked Gun.
Remember that part where he falls down the wheelchair?
That's really
funny.
And
then he flies up? Die Hard is number 7. Die Hard should have been higher. Should have been number 1.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Die Hard is maybe the best action film, just straight action film of all time.
Yeah, I can't deny that.
It's so good.
Number 6, Crocodile Dundee 2.
All right.
Is that the...
That's the one where they spend more time in Australia.
I think so, yeah.
Because I don't like... It's not as good as the first one.
No. What was the last one that made Crocodile Dundee in...
In
Los
L.A.
In L.A.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
No, I didn't either.
Did you see the... I was going to ask if you saw the Crocodile Hunter movie. Collision Course?
I think it did.
Yeah.
At the video store. They
play
put
it
on during the day. Yeah,
yeah. I can see that.
It was like kid-friendly, so...
Twins is number 5.
Twins did better than Die Hard? That's such a bummer.
It is. Big is number 4. I like Big.
I like Big, too.
Yeah. Big's kind of sweet. Coming to America, my favorite Eddie Murphy movie.
Okay.
And my favorite John
Landis. Your favorite?
Second favorite John Landis movie.
It's your favorite Eddie Murphy movie?
Yeah.
No shit.
I'm trying to think what would beat it, 48 Hours.
Beverly Hills Cop?
Beverly Hills Cop. No, I like Coming to America.
Golden
better.
Child?
Yep. Coming to America,
wow.
I like better.
Okay.
It's sweeter.
Night Professor 2, The Clumps?
I like
Meet Dave?
Norbit? Who Framed Roger Rabbit is number 2.
Mm.
And then number 1 is Rain Man. Which kind of surprises me.
Yeah.
Rain Man is number 1 box office wise.
Rain Man would make $0 in the theater.
You're right.
It would be like if it came out today, it would be like a super like art house like.
It was.
Release.
I'm trying to think of a movie to compare it to like that was just like it would maybe like make Arrival money. Did Arrival make?
Did okay.
Yeah, Arrival did okay. It would probably do worse than Arrival. It would make like Hell or High Water, buddy? I don't know.
Yeah, something like that.
So, I probably did pretty well, too. All right, so those are your top 10 movies from 1988.
The cinematic world has changed quite
a bit.
It
really has, yeah. Because number 1 on this would definitely be, like, if I came out today, it would be, like, I don't know.
Roger Rabbit would be up there. Die Hard would be up there.
Would Die Hard?
Actually, no, it wouldn't nowadays. Roger Rabbit would.
Roger Rabbit definitely would.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's just crazy.
Maybe
to
Beetlejuice?
Me. Yeah.
That I was looking for a superhero movie.
That's the closest one.
Was Dick Tracy 88?
No, that was later.
It wouldn't be up there. All right. So that's it. 1988. We're going to move on to our first movie today. That movie is Chuck Russell's 1988 remake of The Blob.
Le Blob.
Yes. The Blob is... Yeah, a remake of the 1958 movie, written and directed by Chuck Russell, co-written by Frank Darabont, starring Kevin Dillon, Shawnee Smith, Donovan Leitch, Jeffrey DeMunn, Candy Clark, and Joe Seneca. The film's title depicts an amorphous, acidic, amoeba-like. Whoa, alliteration, Wikipedia.
Amorphous, acidic, amoeba-like? Wow.
Amoeba-like organism that eats and dissolves anything in its path as it grows, where it begins to feed on the residents of a fictional town of Arborville, California. So an amorphous, acidic, amoeba-like blob feeds on Arborville.
Yeah,
remake. Released in 1958. It was a box office flop. I can't talk tonight either. We're really struggling tonight.
Yeah, that's all
right. Earning $8.2 million. Got mixed to positive reception. But what kind of reception will it get tonight? Willie, what'd you think of the blob?
Positive reception, yeah.
It's definitely positive.
No, okay. So here's the thing that I find interesting about the blob is that it clearly didn't do well at the box office at the time. It didn't get a ton of critical love at the time, but it's had kind of a reevaluation now. And I think the reason why people kind of, the same reason why it was made, why it got greenlit, is the same reason why people crapped on it. And I'll explain. Every decade has its counterpoint decade that people are nostalgic for. Right now, I think we're starting to get nostalgic for the 90s, which is feeling really weird to me, but that's where we're headed with this decade. In the 80s, it was nostalgia for the 50s. Watch one episode of like Saved by the Bell, and it's like the 80s are regurgitating the 50s. It's really strange. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's disturbing. But Saved by the Bell is more 90s, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
That show was dated from the get-go.
It was late 80s, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. So this is a movie that was made because I think you have a director who grew up enjoying films like The Blob, the alien invasion movies, kind of the cool old school black and white monster movies and stuff. And that's what makes this part of what I kind of consider the trinity of great 80s remakes. Mm-hmm. Can you guess the other two there?
Oh, I can, because I'm going to talk about them. The Thing and the Fly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a perfect triple. It's perfect.
Yeah.
But this gets crap for the same reason that The Thing did, especially. The Fly really didn't get it as badly, but I think people didn't have as many overly positive memories of the original Fly as they did with like The Blob, because Steve McQueen was in the original, mm-hmm. or with The Thing, which a lot of people kind of had fond memories of. It was the fact that they took this kind of beloved sci-fi horror movie and they turned it into an 80s version, which means there was gore, there was more of a body count, maybe a little TNA here and there. They updated it to fit the 1980s setting. Mm-hmm. Now, looking at it now, it makes total sense, but I think it was hard for critics and some audiences to kind of separate themselves from that. And I think that's probably something that we're dealing with now. I mean, when we see remakes come out now, we're pretty quick to jump on them if they were movies from our childhood, you know, pretty quick to jump down on them and just say, oh, this is going to be garbage.
I see a lot of that right now with Suspiria,
sure,
remake.
Exactly. Karate Kid was one.
Yeah.
And I know it's not a horror movie, but I want to bring it up because it's a good example. Karate Kid, people were kind of all over that movie, and I remember watching it and going, that's actually pretty good.
I like the Karate Kid.
You know what
remake.
I mean?
Yeah,
so
no.
it's I think it's unfair.
And plus, it gave us Jaden's Twitter and Facebook,
which is one of the great things that ever happened to humanity. So, no, I really enjoy this movie because it's taking a concept that, in theory, is really kind of corny. You know, it's kind of a classic corny sci-fi B movie type plot. You mm-hmm. know, asteroid lands on Earth, big gelatinous piece of bubble gum comes out and just kind of rolls over things.
Yeah.
But it makes it like the most horrifying thing ever.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The blob is nasty in this.
There are parts of this movie that I was surprised by because I hadn't seen it in a while.
The effects are like some of the best practical effects I've ever seen.
Actually, all three of those 50s remakes have awesome effects.
Some of the best practical effects.
Yeah.
Yeah, period. Mm-hmm. I mean, the stuff that, I mean, and The Thing was 82, so that's a pretty solid gap in time.
When was Fly? Was Fly 86?
I think it was 85.
Okay.
But I'd have to check. Yeah. But it was in between these two.
Yep.
And you look at the effects work on those movies, and it's like, how could you ever be mad at that?
Right.
Like, you know, and the sad thing is we'll never see anything quite on that level, effects, like practical effects-wise, I don't think, ever again. But
I don't think so either.
That's me getting nostalgic again. I really like this movie, and I remember liking it. I don't remember not liking it as much when I was younger. I'm not sure why that is. I think I remember being kind of I wasn't as drawn to the monster movies of this type mm-hmm. at that age when I first saw this. I was more into slasher movies at the time or zombie movies. Those are my two big genres growing up. And then I expanded my horizons to other stuff as I got older. And when I rediscovered this, I was like, oh my God, this is great. Kevin Dillon's always been a little suspect.
Yeah, I don't like him most of the time.
He's fine.
Maybe
in this.
His entourage stink on him.
Okay.
For me, okay. Personally.
That makes sense.
But I kind of like him in this.
He's fine in this because, honestly, I kind of like his character's so overly hip that Kevin Dillon's the perfect person to be playing it.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of a dork.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it's his hair's so silly.
You just want to laugh at him.
Yeah.
If it was Matt Dillon, it'd be a totally different beast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Especially Matt Dillon in the 80s. Very cool. Man.
I'd be swooning. Yeah. And I like Shawnee Smith quite a bit. Really, the whole cast is pretty solid.
The cast is fun. Yeah.
And everybody knows what movie they're in. Everybody knows what kind of film this is and knows not to take it overly seriously, but knows that there's a lot of work behind this and a lot of effort and a lot of craft. And they're taking it seriously, but they're having fun taking it seriously, you know, if that makes any sense. I don't know. Just top to bottom, it's a really cool movie. And I think that this movie being made in 88 is a response to the nostalgia of the 50s.
No, I agree. Yeah, yeah, totally. I am just going to kind of echo what you said. I'm the one that kind of picked this movie. I really, really wanted to watch it again. I hadn't seen it in a long time, probably over 10 years or so. But I was listening to Chuck Russell on the Movie Crypt.
Yeah, quite an interview. He's really
very good.
He's great.
Check it out. Yeah. Because Chuck Russell is great. Like mm-hmm. I told Willie after I was done listening to it, like this guy's a pro. Like this guy's like straight up professional.
He can work the mic.
Yeah, and he's done some good movies. I like The Mask quite a bit.
Yes, me too.
I like The Scorpion King. I'll put it out there. Yeah.
Well, then he did.
He did something else that I'm blank. Oh, he did Eraser.
Didn't he do Dream Warriors?
He did do Dream Warriors.
I'm like, wait a second. I think he did Dream Warriors. Yeah.
He did Dream Warriors. So.
Which is the best Nightmare on Elm Street movie, in my opinion.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. At least the best sequel for me, obviously.
Sure, sure.
Yep. So, anyway, this kind of has this has this trademark in it in that it's incredible. It's like, it's really workmanlike. But it's also. I don't mean that in a bad way. Some people like use workmanlike as an insult. I mean, no, it's not. Like it's tight, it's funny, it never gets boring. No. It has great effects. It's funny that you mentioned it on a slasher movie. It almost plays like a slasher attack.
It does. Yeah. And looking back on it now, it totally does. I don't think I could wrap my young head around the corniness of like the B plot, the B movie plot.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's an asteroid. I remember immediately rejecting it.
I love the, I forgot about the movie they show at the theater. There's this, and it kind of comes off as a joke because whoever they cast as the, like the boyfriend in the movie is like 45 years old.
That's so good.
It's really funny.
That's so good.
But it's made by people, I mean, you can tell. It's made by people who love especially like 50s horror movies. And I think with Chuck Russell and Frank Darabont, too, who co-wrote mm-hmm. this.
And who worked with him on Dream Warriors, too.
Yes. Yeah, Darabont. You can tell. And it shines through. And it's not, it doesn't distract from it. They don't make fun of it, really. I mean, they poke fun, but it's all lighthearted and good. It's in good fun. Yeah. The other thing I like about it, just plot-wise, is it's really unpredictable with the deaths.
They murder a child.
They kill a kid. They kill a dog in this one, too?
I don't... Yes, yep. They do. Yeah. Yeah, you know what's funny is this and our final movie we'll be talking about tonight have, like, the exact same plot.
I know.
It's so great. With very different
the
effects.
The middle one does not.
No. But, yeah, I believe they do kill off the dog, which is kind of sad. I don't think it's very graphic, though. The kid is pretty graphic.
The kid is really graphic. What's your favorite kill?
Oh, it's so hard.
I know mine.
The first time I saw it, I remember my favorite being the guy getting snapped in half and pulled out the window during the last siege there.
Yeah.
Now, I think... God. I think it's probably the woman in the phone booth.
The sheriff? That's mine, too.
The woman in the phone booth.
Oh, you mean the woman in the phone booth. See, mine is actually right before.
Oh, when he slides up again.
It's the sheriff because she's on the... I think it's brilliant in its setup because you don't expect either one of them to die. You kind of expect them to be main characters towards the end. And, like... She's on the phone calling for him, and he pops up, and you can see him through the pink blob.
He's melting.
He's melting, and his mouth's wide open. It's awesome.
That's really good. Yeah. I almost forget about that part because the effect of the telephone booth exploding is so sweet.
It is sweet. Yeah. I like when glass implodes like
it's
that.
It's so cool.
I'm a big fan of that.
But yeah, they murder a kid pretty brutally. That's totally unexpected.
Yeah. And when you do stuff like that, it's all bets are off now.
Yeah.
And that adds a little danger to this movie. This movie, I don't think it gets a little bit undervalued, I think, especially when it comes to those other two remakes. It's not going for the same things that The Thing and The Fly are going for at all. There's not much to grasp onto, like, thematically with The Blob.
The Fly is a love letter, or no, I'm sorry, The Fly is a love story.
Yes.
He just took the basic concept and turned it into a love story.
And it's got
tragedy.
All of Cronenberg's body horror
yes,
stuff.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then with The Thing, I think what Carpenter did was he was a big fan of the old movie, the original, but then he went, let's go to the source material and make a more faithful adaptation to the book,
right?
The short story. With this is a legit love letter to that entire genre of film, I think. And that's why it allows itself to have a little more fun, too, and play a little more fast and loose. You know?
There is a little bit, I guess, with the, it's funny, I think the 50s aspect of it is really interesting. Especially, I think the violence of these three movies, because all of them are pretty violent and gory. Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting when you look at it in the context of like remaking a 50s movie, because it's almost like, it almost plays as kind of like a meta level of how the 50s are always, a lot of times to our detriment, look back as like this idyllic time in like America. Very squeaky clean. But you kind of got to remember in like 1950, like we're 5 years out of dropping an atomic bomb. Like, I mean, we're constantly thinking about nuclear war, like constantly. You've got like, there was like a killing spree. Charles and Carrie Anne, they ran around. Like, there are bad things that happen in the 50s, but everybody's got this image because of the way TV portrays it and the way everybody thinks of the American family in the 50s, like, that it's, like, perfect.
Yeah, it's all
like,
apple
there's
pie.
No there's, like, a ton of racism and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, you look back at the 50s and you kind of think, like, oh, who's it really good for?
Yeah.
But what I think is so interesting is the violence in the 80s. These remakes of the 80s movies almost kind of, in a way, like, says, okay, we're going to show you, like, we're going to remake a 50s movie, but we're going to show you how it really is.
Oh,
like,
totally.
It kind of plays off. It plays
Oh,
like
you're
that.
Absolutely right. You're absolutely, that's so cool, because this is what it would look like.
Yeah.
You idiots.
And I do like, I like in this one, it's not just straight up, like an alien falls from the sky. They tie it more into, they use like the government aspect of it, which I think is an interesting thing in the 80s too, because we're not in the 50s anymore. We're coming out of Vietnam, and we're coming out of, we got stuff like Iran-Contra going on. So there is this Watergate.
There's a fear of the Reaganomics stuff, too. I mean, it was embraced by a lot of people, but also, you know.
Yep, so we've got this weird, it's the mistrust of the government, I think, is something that you probably wouldn't get necessarily. But you do get a lot of themes in the 50s movie, like, that carries over. You got the kids, you got a small town America, so stuff like
they
that.
They essentially kill the Steve McQueen character unexpectedly, too, because they've got that kind of leading man jock guy, and he's like the first one to get murdered. So.
Yeah, it is kind of like killing the Steve McQueen, or like
that's what it is,
or like
really,
a Psycho or Scream style opening that I kind of forgot about because. Yeah,
you immediately think, oh, he's the guy.
Yeah,
you know, because Shawnee Smith is kind of playing this like kind of preppier style. You know what I mean? Like, she seems like she's like the popular girl.
Yes,
you know, and Kevin Dillon is not that guy.
No,
but the thing is, if you look at the leading men of the '80s, Kevin Dillon, he's wearing the fashions that you know what I mean. Like, he looks like a cast member of the Lost Boys.
He is a bad boy.
Yeah, oh, you gotta watch out for him. But no, but I love that. I love like that's almost like the opening. That's like the opening. Gunshot in a salvo just to say, hey, 50s people. Like,
yeah,
it almost ties back into what you were saying about like, no, this is what it would look like, because
yes,
like squeaky clean Steve McQueen probably would die.
Yeah,
he would not make it. It would take a Kevin Dillon to save the day.
Have you seen the Steve McQueen version?
I have. Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's okay.
It's fun.
This is better.
Yeah, this is a better movie.
Yeah, this is better. The only one I don't think I've ever actually seen The Fly, the original of The Fly.
It's been a long time. I know I've seen it at some point, because I remember the key moment vividly, you know, but it's been so long.
Yeah.
Same with Thing from Another World. I've seen it.
See, yeah, The Thing from Another World is one where I actually love both versions of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Thing from Another World, Howard Hawks. It's got that quick back and forth like banter and stuff that I love. So I'm a big fan of that and the remake. So
yeah, I like both.
So this is... it's hard for me to judge The Fly. The Fly is probably a pretty... But this is, I think, a bigger improvement on the original source material than The Thing is, but that's just because I like both The Thing.
Sure.
Movies.
Yeah. Sure.
So, and I'm not crazy about The Blob, but this is...
That's fair.
This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Had a great time with it. If you haven't seen it, if for some reason you missed this one, which I could see people missing this one.
Or just go back and rewatch. Yeah,
just watch it. God. Man, the effects are like... It's worth it just for the effects. Honestly,
I think so too.
They're the biggest star of the film. And I shouldn't say that doesn't mean... I don't think it'd be fair to say that that's the only reason to watch it, because I think the one other major quality this film has is the town feels lived in. This feels like a real town, small town with real relationships, with real lives, with real... You know what I mean? Like, with the exception of the Kelvin Dillon character who feels like a cartoon, the rest of them feel like real living, breathing human beings.
Yeah.
Who would live in this town and get and know each other. And you would be affected when you saw Joan, the diner, the lady that works at the diner, get dissolved. You know what I mean? Like, if you lived in a small town, you would know her.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a bummer.
Darabont's good at that, too.
Yes.
Yeah, Darabont's very good at... Darabont's very good at relationships between characters, especially.
He's great at Americana, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
I hope when we get to 2007, we do The Mist.
I would like to talk about The Mist, because The Mist is... Mist is awesome.
I think so, too.
Yeah. The Mist is awesome. I can't argue with that.
Yeah, it's... have you seen the black and white version?
I have.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Yeah, it's really have you seen the black and white pilot for The Walking Dead?
No.
Ugh.
I will say this about The Walking Dead. You watch it still, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I dropped off for like 3 years, and then I picked it back up.
We switched to talking to Darabont. That's okay. I loved that Walking Dead pilot. Mm-hmm. And then everything after it never lived up to it to me, so I just kind of went...
And it still hasn't.
Yeah.
That pilot's incredible.
Yeah.
But if it's... I have the black and white version. I'll let you borrow it just so you watch. It's a little nice little mini short film.
I still do love the pilot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't hate the show. It's just... It was kind of one of those things where I just kind of fell out of it early. So.
But you're right. It never lived up to the... The pilot was always the best.
Yeah. So. All right. So that is The Blob. That's our Frank Darabont and kind of Chuck Russell. Retrospective.
I know, right? And yeah, I like that. That's fun.
We're going to play a game real quick. Willie, are you ready?
I am ready.
So I mentioned earlier, 1988, I'm going to go through some of these songs. This is a really, really fun year for pop music. Because I think we're getting towards... I mean, pop music's pretty good in the 80s. But
it really is, right?
It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
I don't think that's just nostalgia either.
I don't think so either.
A lot of the pop music in the 80s generally was actually kind of good music.
Prince and Michael Jackson. And like, it's people turning out genuinely interesting like pop music. It's not just kind of silly fluff. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that, too.
Oh, there's a lot of that.
But... So this is, I kind of like, a lot of these songs, I remember hearing when they were on the radios, either when I was like 4 or 5 years old, and
sure.
like maybe they're still playing in like 89. But it's weird. It's like, I was listening to these, I downloaded a playlist of these songs from 88, and I'm like, I remember listening to the song on the radio with like driving in a car with my parents.
That's nuts.
Yeah. So like, it's kind of this weird like first year where I start remembering things.
I was going to say, that had to be some of your earliest like legitimate memories.
Like pop culture memories.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what we're going to do here is, I've got the Billboard Hot 100 singles of 1988.
Okay.
And what we're going to do is, we did not prepare for this very well, but we're going to see how it goes. I'm going to, it's a little look behind the curtain. But I'm going to name off a song, I'm going to name off a single, and we're going to try to match it with, I think, like a horror movie character that we think would be their theme song, let's say.
Okay.
So,
like, so if they were, if like Freddy Krueger was a pro wrestler, this is the music he'd walk out to.
Yeah, like we'll say it like that. Yeah,
like that. Like
yeah.
So, it's his theme. Like his, like it should represent that character. Is that kind of what we're going for?
Exactly. Like or like the yeah. So like the first, like when I name off like Faith by George Michael. Like what's the first horror movie that pops in your
oh,
head?
Man.
Or first horror movie character?
Annie Wilkes from Misery.
Not bad. That's better than what I was gonna. I was gonna go really boring and say Reagan from The Exorcist.
Oh, that's good too.
Or actually Pazuzu.
Yeah.
I guess it would be nice if I touch your body.
Buzzes.
Yeah.
He would like that song.
He would like that song. So Faith will get us started. We'll move on. Let's see. See, like some of these. Okay, let's do this one. Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses.
Is it lame to go Freddy Krueger?
No, not at all. Not at all. Why, though?
Because he likes little kids.
No, then it's definitely not.
Okay.
You know who I was going to go with?
Mm.
The Orphan.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. Orphan.
Orphan or The Omen. Let's do Heaven is a Place on Earth by Belinda Carlisle, which, by the way, I love that song. Like, no shame.
Heaven is a Place on Earth.
Yeah, I guess I've got one in mind for this one.
For some reason, I immediately thought of Pamela Voorhees. I don't know why. I have no idea why.
You think if she was around in the 80s, she would be right.
I think she'd listen to it.
I think she would. I think she would think the music is the devil's work, but I think she would think.
She might. I don't know. Sort of that's literally the first character. I'm like, oh, Pamela Voorhees.
She's like, where's the Andy Williams?
Yeah, she would not like the Blob remake.
I thought of the Cenobites in Hellraiser 3, Hell on Earth.
That's amazing.
Because technically.
That's amazing.
It would be their heaven.
I love it.
It's a place on
Way
Earth.
Way better than mine.
The Flame by Cheek Trick. Do you remember The Flame?
Oh, man. I do not. Oh, yeah.
The only reason I brought this up is because I was going to say either Firestarter.
Okay.
Or The Burning.
Oh, man.
But either one of those really have anything to do with the characters. Firestarter or Cropsey from The Burning, I should specify.
I'm going to go Michael Myers.
Okay.
Because there's that line where he goes, you were the first to do, do, do. Like, he's like, that's why he's like, he's really feeling like nothing's ever going to live up to that first time.
Yeah.
And his first time was stabbing his sister.
Like, yeah,
he's
right.
He's never going to, yeah.
Yeah, so he's always chasing that flame.
Yeah,
yeah, I like that. Get Out of My Dreams, Get Into My Car, Billy Ocean, one of the greatest songs of all time. That can't be argued.
I'm going to go with the Creeper from Jeepers Creepers.
You remember his? Yeah, I'm gonna go with that too. I was just gonna jump on. You remember his vanity plate beating you?
Yeah. He would totally listen to Billy Ocean while he's cruising on the road. He totally would. He's a dork.
The Creeper is kind of a dork, right?
He is a dork.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wild Wild West by the Escape Club. Do you remember? Straight to the 90s.
Yeah. I do know this song. Oh, boy. You know, I'm going to go... Oh, man, this is tough. I'm going to think about this one a little bit. Wild Wild West.
You know how I'm going to go?
What are you going with?
The Cannibals from the bad guys from Bone Tomahawk.
That's good. I like that. Yeah. I was going to go with the Vampire Crew from Near Dark.
Ooh, that's better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As they're rolling down the road.
Because one of them would really listen to that. Paxton.
Yeah.
Paxton would be
drinking
a bunch of blood.
The little kid probably would, too.
Yeah, definitely. For some reason, I want to try this one.
Okay.
Pour Some Sugar on Me by Def Leppard.
Oh, God.
I feel like this is an Angela from Sleepaway Camp Kill.
That's really good.
Like, she pours sugar and then a bunch of, like, bees
That's
come.
Really good. I got to go with Candyman, who had sugar poured on him, and bees sting him to death. I don't know if you recall that scene.
That's pretty much, that nails it, yeah.
Yeah.
Man in the Mirror by Michael Jackson. This is Prince of Darkness.
Man in the Mirror, that's probably the devil.
Or Mirrors, starring Kiefer Sutherland.
The other one I would think of would be Phantasm.
Ooh, that's
because he's always popping up in mirrors. Like he'll shut the bathroom mirror, and there's the tall man, or like his bedroom mirror, the tall man. You know.
Can you imagine?
The tall man in the mirror, right?
Can you imagine all of a sudden we're at a pro wrestling event, and the man in the mirror kicks out, and here comes Angus Grimm through the...
Charging down the... Oh, my God.
Simply Irresistible by Robert Palmer. Look at how good this year is for music.
Oh.
Like, that's the 23rd.
Yeah, honestly, it's really good. That's a really good list. I've got to go with, oh, God, why am I missing her name? My girl from Audition.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Simply Irresistible. That is really good. I was thinking
Why am I missing her? Can you help me out here? What's her damn name? It's going to kill me.
Yeah, it's bothering me now, too.
Yep.
While I search for it, I'm going to say the Red Witch from The Witch.
Oh, yeah. That's good. That's good. I like that.
Asami.
Thank you so much. It was killing me.
All right. We're just going to do a couple more here.
Mm.
Hungry Eyes by Eric Carmen. From the Dirty Dancing soundtrack, I believe.
Yep.
Anybody who hasn't seen that, it came on my iPhone the other day, my Spotify, and the album cover art is really, really strange for it. Like, he's holding this woman by the back of the neck as she's, like, bent over, and it says Hungry Eyes on top of it. It's like, who?
Just for that, I'm going to go with Robert Picardo from The Howling. Because you would really like the front of that album, too.
I was going to go like Cannibals from Cannibal Holocaust.
That was my second choice.
Father Figure by George Michael.
Oh, man. Father Figure. This is tough.
The Stepfather. Terry
McQuinn. That's it. Yeah. That's the winner.
Naughty Girls Need Love 2 by Samantha Fox from the Clerks 2 soundtrack.
That's going to be Sleepaway Camp, Angela.
Sleepaway Camp. I was thinking Jennifer from Jennifer's Body.
That's good, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's been a naughty girl. Let's see. Let's see if we can find a couple more. I feel like there should be something for Red Wine. But.
Red Wine? I don't know.
Bad Medicine by Bon Jovi.
Bad Medicine.
Oh, Red Wine is David Hayden Pierce from Perfect Host.
Yeah,
if you recall
I like that movie.
Yeah.
Bad Medicine. I'm gonna go with Dr. Fibes.
Dr. Fibes, that's good. I was gonna go Dr. Giggles.
Ooh. All right.
Can you imagine? Oh my God! Once again, can you imagine Dr. Fibes just rocking out to Bad Medicine? I can. Devil Inside by INXS is obviously the Devil Inside movie.
No, we can do better than that. Let's go with Devil Inside. Let's go with, oh, man. So many Possession movies. I want to pick a good one, though. Hey, how about, like, we go with The Sentinel?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
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 That's a good one. Okay.
I can see Beverly D'Angelo rocking out, if you catch my drift.
The Locomotion by Kylie Minogue.
Oh.
That will be the... One of the characters from Train to Busan, maybe the zombies from Train
That's
to Busan.
That's really good. Yeah, I like that.
Or is it Jamie Lee Curtis in Terror Train?
Yeah, let's go with one of those.
Okay. All right, like two more. Because we have to do one because what was the one I wanted to do? Oh, Fast Car by Tracy Chapman. Chapman. Once again, I need to put this. I love that.
This is from 88?
Yeah. I think it may have been either 87 or 89.
No,
because
okay.
It's really low on this list, and that seems to me like it's something that came out either at the end of the year before or the end of this year.
That makes sense.
Because it was a big hit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fast Car. Probably Christine.
Christine was what I was thinking.
Yeah. Or I guess you could go The Hitcher.
The Hitcher. I was thinking the NASCAR from Final Destination 3.
Oh, that's good.
all right, and then we'll do the last one here because it is Monkey by George Michael.
Oh, man. Well, I guess we have to go with Monkey Shines,
I think
right?
We have to go Monkey Shines.
With Ella from Monkey Shines?
I think so.
All right.
And that wonderful transition.
Although Ooh. Shock the Monkey would be a...
Shock the Monkey. Yeah, I don't remember Monkey by George Michael. He had a lot of hits that year.
A lot of
George
hits that year. You named like four or five.
George Michael songs. Monkey Shines by one Mr. George Romero. Our first Romero movie?
Yes.
Yeah. So, well, not the first one. We had that Martin mishap a couple weeks ago.
Well, it's the first one we actually talked about. Yeah. Which is like kind of awesome to me. That
Monkey Shines is the first one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Monkey Shines, 1988, his first studio movie with Orion Studios. Coolest logo, one of the coolest logos.
Love the Orion logo. Gives me the old the goosebumps every time I see it.
Yep. A quadriplegic man has trained a monkey. Has a trained monkey help him with his paralysis until the monkey begins to develop feelings and rage against its new master. Pretty succinct.
Yeah.
Willie, how many times have you seen Monkey Shines in your life?
This would be my second, maybe third.
First timer with Monkey Shines.
Okay.
What do you think of it? What do you think of it on a rewatch?
Upon rewatch, you know what? Monkey Shines, I think it gets a little bit of a bad rap. I don't even say it gets a bad rap. I think it gets ignored or forgotten about a bit. And I get that. I mean, if you look at Romero's filmography, obviously the zombie films he made rise to the top, then probably Creepshow.
Yeah.
Then maybe his King adaptations. Well, he only did the one Dark Half. Then maybe, you know, there's a few under that, but generally it's the zombie movies kind of like trump the rest of the stuff that he did. But I think there's some other gems in there. I think Martin's one of them. I think The Crazies has some strong points. And I think this one's better than it gets credit for. Not saying it's a genre classic or even like up in the top tier of Romero's filmography, but I think there's enough here to warrant a rewatch. I think it's deserving of a rewatch. I think the plot is fascinating.
Yeah.
I think both the concept, both the idea of a helper monkey, I think is a fascinating concept. And then I think what happens if it went wrong is fascinating too. In most circumstances, I think it'd be easy to laugh at the little capuchin monkey killing people. But I buy it in this movie.
It's very easy to laugh at that.
You laugh at it a lot. See, I actually bought it in this movie. I don't know why. I bought it because I walked away from this with more of a... I almost got a vibe that, like, there's more of a psychic connection than even they, like, hit on
right.
in this. I almost felt like it was him doing the killing through her, you know? So somehow that worked more for me. I mean, yeah, it is kind of silly sometimes, you know, because it's a capuchin monkey. They're adorable. You know?
This one's pretty adorable.
Too. Pretty adorable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she just wants to help out her master, you know?
She's a good monkey.
Yeah.
She's a good
she
monkey.
She loves her person. But no, I think there's enough suspense and enough kind of human drama going on alongside the craziness to warrant checking it out. I think it's got a cool score. I think the performances are pretty strong, especially considering, like I said, this could be treated as a joke. I appreciate and applaud Romero for treating this seriously, for not treating it like a B-movie. In the hands of a lesser director, I feel like it would have been so ridiculous and schlocky that there'd be no taking it
right.
to any degree of seriousness. And actually, they get quite a good little performance out of the capuchins, so...
You know his name?
I do not.
IMDb, his name is Boo.
Boo, okay. Yeah. Boo is the lead capuchin?
Boo is an actor known for monkey shines.
Cool.
According to IMDb.
Get it, Boo?
Yeah. A little more IMDb trivia real quick. He's one of the few male monkeys to ever be used. Apparently, they mainly use female monkeys.
Yeah, from what I understand, the males are overly territorial and stuff. Yeah.
Plus the balls.
Yeah.
You don't like
Plus the, yeah, I don't want to see those on screen. Yeah, and I guess they throw poop.
Oh, yeah.
That's a thing. The lead actor, Jason Begay, who plays the gentleman who's been paralyzed.
Yeah.
He had poop thrown in his mouth at one point.
Yeah, if you watch the Scream Factory the Blu-ray, did you watch the
I did.
Documentary?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's a documentary where half of it is literally just people on the crew telling monkey stories.
And honestly, it's worth it.
Yeah, it's pretty much the main reason you make a Blu-ray. I think. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's too much.
I want
to
know what happened.
To grab onto there, because there wasn't a lot of drama on the set. I know it was his first studio movie, mm-hmm. but...
Seems like he had a little bit of the typical interference here and there, especially post, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Especially with the ending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that was a test screening thing, you know? You know how that is.
Yep.
So, yeah, no, I mean, look, it's not a perfect movie. out of the three we watched this for this episode, I think it's the weakest. And I hate to say that and be negative because I really did enjoy watching the movie. And I think it's worth a look. But I struggle to find a reasoning for why this movie got made when it got made. I feel like I usually have a pretty good handle on being able to kind of understand the thesis of the show of our show here,
yeah.
How our mindset or the events going on around us helped us decide to make these pieces of fiction. This one, I'm not sure I understand. There's nothing there. I feel like it was just somebody liked the book and let's make a movie out of it.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Yeah. Orion was looking to make a horror movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the time. And I guess they had the rights to this book. I don't know if the book came out. I don't recall it being a huge phenomenon.
Mm-mm. No, I don't believe it was. Somebody, some sort of producer or somebody read the book and went, oh, I like the book.
I like the book, let's do that. We need to make a horror movie. It was published in 83.
Yeah, so it wasn't all that old.
Around that time. But yeah, I'm with you. It's weird because killer animal movies aren't really in vogue around this time. It's a strange choice. I guess I'll go next then.
Mm-hmm.
You good?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm weirdly with it until the monkey attack happens. Like, because I like it's just it's weird enough. I kind of like the relationship between the monkey and man. the telepathic relationship. It's silly enough to where I, yeah. But he does some interesting. Romero does some interesting things, and I like that he makes the main character kind of an asshole.
He is.
Yeah.
Because honestly, a lot of people would kind of be that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? But I guess my main issue with the movie is I think the third act is kind of silly. Once the monkey starts flying around, I hope Tom Savini, I'm sure he is. I'm sure Tom Savini's listening to us right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope he's not listening. I think the monkey looks kind of doofy.
There are bits in the monkey does look doofy. Yeah, for sure.
And there are very talented people working on this movie.
Greg Nicotero.
Yeah, thank you. I was blanking on him. But Greg Nicotero is working on it. But I don't think there's any way around it at times. Especially when the monkey like bites his neck and he has to like throw him or something. I can't remember that part.
He bites the monkey,
thank you.
Yeah, there are definitely moments in this that are doofy. And I will say, real quick before you continue.
No, you're good.
The biggest failing of the third act is that the relationship between him and Ella, like it does not take him long to go, oh, she's bad and I want her out of the house.
Yeah.
Like there's not enough of an addiction there. Like there's not enough of like a connection between the two. She's not really around him that long before he goes, oh, take her back to the lab. She's dangerous.
The whole movie feels kind of truncated. It feels kind of cut off at times. And I think that George, bless him, wrote like a 4-hour like treatment for this movie. And like he had it all. And I just like I heard that. And like his producer friend, whose name escapes me, basically says
Squally Booba.
Yeah, he's just like, yeah, George does that sometimes.
Yeah, no, he can. I mean, good for him, you know.
No, like good for him. I appreciate him taking it seriously. And in fact, I think it works in the movie's favor in a lot of ways that he takes it seriously. But that sounds insane.
Yeah, no, that's a bit long for this one.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I think the craziest thing about that is, like, this is not a, like, it, yes, it is a happy ending, technically.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll argue it's a little out of left field. They do a little bit of work setting it up front that there's a possibility that he could be cured. I'm using air quotes. They do some work up front to mention that. I will say more than I remember. I remember originally watching this. I was just like, "How? What? Like, how is he fixed?" They do mention a couple times, like, "Oh, he might have missed this." You know? So they at least like kind of lead into it. But the thing is, you're never gonna feel good, no matter how murderous the little capuchin is. You're never gonna feel good about the capuchin being killed.
Right.
You're never going to feel good about it. Like, you're always going to be like, oh, poor little guy.
Yeah, because it wasn't really the capuchin's fault.
It's impossible to not feel sympathy for the little guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
he was feeding off of his negative telepathic energy.
Yeah. So, you know, everybody's a victim here. And science is the real enemy here.
Yeah.
And...
Ooh, Stanley Tucci.
Yeah.
What a D-bag. He's so slimy and funny. What's funny about Stanley Tucci in this movie is... He looks older in this movie than he does now.
How does that even happen?
Stanley Tucci has some sort of Benjamin Button type deal, because he looks really good now.
It's insanity.
But here, he looks super old.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Stephen Root shows up, too, doesn't he, in this
yes.
movie? Yes. Yeah.
And then disappears completely. But yeah, no, the thing is, you're always going to feel down, so I can't even imagine watching like a 4-hour movie that ends with that on that note. Yeah. I'd just be like, oh my God.
Right.
Like, what? You know what I mean? I'd be just not devastated. I'd just be like, I think I'd need to like go away for a little while.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, and I think I guess it's probably a little bit unfair, but maybe it's not. I guess my biggest issue with the movie is his first studio film, and it kind of feels like it at times.
Mm-hmm.
Like
it kind of,
and like the movie itself feels like it makes concessions, and knowing just judging it by Romero's like own work, I go, this is okay.
3 years earlier, he made Day of the Dead.
Yeah, this feels neutered compared to like Day of the Dead. Yeah, this feels neutered.
Well, and it is. I mean, to be fair, it is.
And it's still, it's still fun. That's why I say I like a lot of what he does with the. This is essentially it's kind of like a yuppie problems the movie in a way because it's saying it comes across as like. These two people, like, once they're presented with actual horrible things, like he and his significant other, mm-hmm. like, once they're presented with horrible things that actually happened to him, like, actual bad things, like, it falls apart.
Yeah, once...
They completely, both completely fall apart.
Once they can't lay around naked in bed together and work out, and keep their bodies in perfect physical shape, then they can't handle life.
That's why I almost wish he had a little more time to explore it before the accident.
Yeah,
so he could present the way they were. Because
there was probably some Romero commentary going on there.
That yes, because Romero does not like yuppies. No. Yeah, the people of the 80s, and as he sees them, I mean, and it's pretty obvious.
For a friendly guy, Romero really doesn't like a lot of people.
No,
you know,
he's like passive aggressive.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's like, I'll be nice to you. I'm a cordial person, but I'm gonna make movies about you.
Yeah,
yeah.
About how stupid.
And they're gonna make you look bad.
So I mean, it is funny to me because the guy, he's like really awful to his mom. And his mom's like, but his mom is super overbearing.
She's awful.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody's kind of awful except for his friend. I like his friend and the woman.
The drug addict?
Yeah. Yeah, the drug addict. It's funny where Romero's sympathies lie. Yeah. But Tucci's a slime ball. Their death is good. I thought that was fun.
Yeah, that's fun.
We got to talk about the sex scene, though.
It's pretty intense.
It's really good.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty good sex scene.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
Romero's not one who typically,
that's the thing.
He's not a sexy director in terms of, like, that's not what he ever focuses on.
Yeah.
It's a pretty, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's kind of funny when the monkeys start, like, jumping up and down and stuff.
Yeah, well,
that's kind of funny. But, like, the sex scene, like, it's pretty odd. Right?
Yeah, IMDb trivia for you. One of the very few films depicting a quadriplegic having sex.
Yeah, awesome.
I'm surprised how far he goes with it.
Yeah, it goes. I was sitting there going, what?
Yeah, I didn't see where it went.
No, honestly,
I didn't see his head going there. The places it went.
No, props to yeah. Romero and the crew. I guess they drank quite a bit before they shot that scene.
Yeah, that's right. I talked about. Yeah.
It's pretty intense. I get it.
Is.
I mean, yeah, and I think it's cool. It's an interesting. It's a weird. It's like a sex set piece almost.
Yeah, it is.
Which is really bizarre because this is not an adult film.
Yeah.
But like it's kind of cool. Like she uses the thing she holds on to him up above, and I'm like, this is cool.
And there is some. There's some interesting character work going on in that scene, too.
There is.
I'm going to dissect the sexy, because it's actually, I think,
no,
the
it's
the
work.
But there's some interesting character work, especially with him, because it's like, because of what he does, where it's him regaining control, in a way.
He stops being as much of kind of a whiny,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yep.
I think he realizes that he can have a life.
And him being able to do what he does to her, like, I'm just scurrying around, like,
he can still please a woman.
He can still please
Let's
a woman.
Let's just throw it out there. He can still please a woman. He's not, I'm using air quotes, dead as a man.
Right.
He can still, mm-hmm. yeah.
So it's an interesting scene.
It's kind of nice when you think about that. Like, it's kind of like, oh, good for him. Like, he's rediscovering the fact that there's something beyond just sitting around being mopey, you know?
So,
but that's also not long before he kind of kicks Ella to the curb a little bit.
Right.
So things go downhill.
They do.
No, it's worth a watch, the movie. Not just the sex scene, but the movie as well.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, I think it's worth checking out. It's
especially if you're like a Romero completist or you like some of his other movies and want to give something off the beaten path. I think this is better than don't watch like Bruiser.
Yeah, this is better than Bruiser.
Yeah. Toolbox Murders Him?
No, that's Hooper.
Thank you.
Not a good movie.
Oh God, it's awful.
Yeah, no, this is probably better than Bruiser. I do like Dark Half a little more than this, I think, because Timothy Hutton's having an insanely good time in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the zombie movies are better. The Creepshow movies,
maybe
better.
Not the later zombie movies. This is better than
that last one for sure.
This is better than Diary.
Probably the
Survival.
Found footage one. Yeah,
I don't think it's better.
It's not better than Land.
Yeah, I like Land.
Land's fun.
Yeah.
And you know, like the Crazies, I'd have to revisit. It's been a while.
Yeah, I don't like the Crazies that much.
I'm not a huge fan. I don't think I was a fan of the remake or the original all that much. The concept's fine, but
anyway.
So, I think it's worth looking at. I think it's certainly worth a rental. You know, there's plenty of places where you can rent it streaming and check it out. So give it a shot. You might love it.
I think on this podcast too, I mix it up. I always thought it was a Stephen King. Like
this
novel because it looks exactly like
this is the
Greg
plot
Asher.
Of a Stephen King book, right? Like this like
well, he wrote a short story called I think Monkey or the Monkey.
Okay,
because the cover of the I think the first edition of Graveyard Shift is a monkey banging cymbals together.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it is. Yeah,
yep.
So. Yeah. I want to say that this and then this movie feels like a Stephen King adaptation too.
It does a little.
I don't dislike the lead actor, but he's got that very vanilla Stephen King lead quality about him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the other thing I wanted to say real quick is, I'm not even that mad that they changed the ending, though.
Skeleton Crew, not
Skeleton
Shift,
Crew.
Sorry.
Yeah. I'm not even that mad that they changed the ending, because the visual of a capuchin bursting out of his back is like the coolest thing ever.
He straight up cops to ripping off Alien, doesn't
he?
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
I appreciate that about Romero, too.
Yeah.
Because he'll just say, yeah, I stole it.
Yeah, I stole it. So what? I was in a bind and need to come up with a new ending.
You've never stolen anything in your life?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So that's Bucky Shines.
Yep.
All right. You ready to move on?
Yes.
All right. Willie, we're going to talk about a movie.
Yes.
In a little bit. But first, I want to know, what scared you as a child? Certain things, I know, stick with us. And does what scare you as a child still scare you today?
Sure. now, I'm thinking just purely in terms of kind of movies that, like, got under my skin and stayed under my skin. We'll be talking shortly here about Clowns. And it wasn't this movie that we're talking about that did it, but it was actually It.
Yeah.
Stephen King's It. Tim Curry. Man, that freaked me out for a long time. And I still kind of get the heebie-jeebies around Clowns, too. So that one didn't go away. Chucky, the Child's Play movies.
Okay.
Freaked me out really bad as a kid. I think it's because I had a lot of toys. I was pretty spoiled, you know? And I thought, what if the toys decide that they didn't like me anymore? You know what I mean? Like, what if they all ganged up and were like, "I'm gonna kill that kid."
Yeah.
Like, he's kind of rough. You know? We're tired of it. I'd be done for. There were a lot of them. And I had one of those, I don't know if I've ever talked about this on the show before, and I apologize if I'm repeating a story, but oh well. I had one of those, do you remember those, like, hammock net things you could hang in your bedroom as a kid, and you could put all your stuffed animals in it?
Oh,
it
I had,
like, a hammock, and you could...
I know, I had a basketball hoop, like, that kind of did that. You throw your dirty clothes on it. I think it's kind of the same concept.
Same concept, yeah. I had one of those.
Okay.
For a while. And I would have nightmares constantly that, like, I'd be laying in bed, getting ready to go to sleep. My parents would be asleep. And then I'd see a stuffed animal fall out of it. And I'd be like, what? And I'd look up, and nothing happened. And then I'd start to roll over to go back to sleep again, and I'd hear a couple more hit the ground, and I'd look over, and I'd just see Chucky's hand coming out of the... like he'd be crawling his way out of it.
Could be the demonic toys.
Raked me out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could be the demonic toys. Could be Doll Man. So, yeah, those are a couple visual-wise. And then The Exorcist. I saw that movie way too young. I think I've mentioned that before on the show. I'm way too young. And I'm not a censor. Like, I'm going to be pretty open with my kids about watching stuff. They won't be watching that.
No.
That one takes a while.
The Exorcist is one, like, I think you like someone discovers on their own.
Yeah. You don't show it to your kid. No, you let them, when they're ready.
Unless you're very, like you're hardcore, like, Catholic or something, you're like,
oh, yeah, this is what can happen to you.
Watch this.
Break the rules. Yeah, that's one I think you do have to find on your own. But I did see it too. I did find it on my own and too young, arguably.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to have nightmares about I'd be walking to my bedroom, and I open my door to my bedroom to go to bed, and she'd be on the bed.
You had nightmares about her?
Yes.
Okay.
About her.
What always screwed with me was the flashes of the face.
Oh, no, the face is the worst part.
Oh, my. It still gets me.
The face is the worst thing that ever happened, Tim. And I have a story to tell about that, too.
Okay.
But no, the vision, for whatever reason, the nightmares were the visual of her on my bed.
Okay.
Like, strapped to the bed. Like,
yeah.
The faces. The Pazuzu faces.
Yeah.
One, I want to say, I'm a little disappointed that particular flash doesn't show up on the Exorcist show. I'm just going to throw it out there. I was hoping we'd see some Pazuzu faces just flashing at the screen. Mm-hmm. That'd be kind of cool. Doesn't happen.
I agree.
But anyway, my wife knows how terrified I am of this face. And, like, really knows how terrified. Like, that legit freaks me out. And so she, at work, using work resources, printed out a bunch of pictures of the face.
Oh, good.
And then hid them around my apartment. And so when I went to go grab coffee to make coffee in the morning, for her as well, mind you, I opened the door, right? And right at my eye level is that face in the dark pantry staring at me. And
I
freaked out. Like, I could not handle it.
That is the worst thing anybody's ever done to it.
Yeah. Then she put one on the inside of my laptop like 4 weeks later. Yeah. So I lifted up my laptop and it was just grinning at me. So my wife's kind of a dick.
that's so mean. Funny. I mean, I'll give her that.
It's pretty good.
It is pretty good. Yeah. Anything else?
Those are the ones I can think of off the top of my head, yeah.
Not movie related, but I will tie it back to movies very soon, is I have, and I still do, I hate snakes. Mm. I am. You had pet snakes. I remember you telling this. Mm-hmm. You had pet snakes. That's crazy.
I had four.
Oh, my God. What kind?
I had a little garter snake in my bedroom. His name was Zip. baby Zip.
Terrifying.
He's just a little guy. Yeah. I had a ball python named Morticia from the Addams Family.
That's a really cool name for a snake.
Yep. And then I had a Burmese python named Mozart.
Oh, my God.
And then I had a big boa constrictor, like 8-foot-long boa constrictor, and his name was Gomez. Yeah, so it was Gomez, Morticia, and Mozart.
Yeah, Mozart.
Well, Mozart's actual name, my parents actually named him Mofo. I don't know why. And then I started telling everybody my new snake's name was Mofo at school, and they were like, we got to change the name of this. Like, well, why would you, like, looking back, I'm like, why did you do that? That was pretty dumb. So, because I'm running around elementary school, like oh, I got to, his name is Mofo. And it was bad. So they changed it to Mozart, which is a much cooler snake name. It is very regal.
I've seen a lot of drawings of snakes in, like, top hats and monocles.
Yeah, it's cool. Those kind of snakes are neat.
Yeah. But yeah, I do not like them. And I can't tell you where exactly this came from, like where the genesis of this is. I just think I don't like snakes because they scare me.
Sure.
They're quick. Even the ones that aren't quick, like the pythons, will just wrap their head around. Yeah. So, like, I've never seen Anaconda or Hunt for the Blood Orchid.
Yeah.
I don't like watching any movies with, like, snakes in them. Yeah. I was always terrified, like, of
Indiana
any movie.
Jones.
Oh, my God. My dad would make me cover my eyes, whatever, because he knew when a snake was popping up. And it's, oh, my God, Indiana Jones has the worst kind of snakes to me. It's the Last Crusade has, and the first one, they have, like, the nest of snakes.
Where they're all bundled together.
Oh, I just got to chill, because nothing is grosser to me than a nest of snakes just crawling on
each
other.
It's pretty horrific.
Oh, my God.
Do you know bats do that, too?
Yeah, I've seen that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, any big grouping of stuff, but snakes being all slithery and stuff.
Yeah.
So snakes are a problem. And I always had this fear, like, I was going to come home and, like, I would sometimes be scared of my bed because I was afraid I was going to pull it open and someone had put a snake in there.
Oh.
And you know what I think it was? Like, I may have, like, flipped by when I was younger, and I was kind of older, but I like would think this too, but I may have, like, flipped by A Clockwork Orange at some point on TV with the part where, because he sleeps in the snake with the bed, because I vividly remember like as a kid seeing a movie with, like, a snake or snakes in the bed.
Interesting.
In someone's bed. And the only one I can think of where that happens is Clockwork Orange.
That might
so I'm
be,
not sure
that
if,
might
like,
have been it.
Maybe if I was sitting with my parents one night and they flip by it or, like, were watching it, I don't know. I don't think they would watch Clockwork Orange, honestly, knowing that, but, like, it just sticks in my head. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. That is freaky.
Other than that, you know, not a huge amount. I mean, I think I've told this story on the first episode. I was really scared of Freddy as a kid. Mm. Like, Freddy always kind of freaked me out. I think it was his face. I have an uncle who used to do his impression to me.
Oh, God.
He used to go, I'm Freddy. Like, he'd do, like, a Freddy and Krueger impression.
Freak
and
you out.
Chase me around. That hasn't survived. I'm not really scared of Freddy anymore.
Yeah.
I'm scared of some of his movies. But
for different reasons.
But Freddy was based on the thought form type deal, the sleep paralysis guy.
Yes. Wes Craven read an article, if I remember right.
Yeah.
About sleep paralysis and about somebody dying.
And people always have visions of, like, kind of the dark tall man. Yeah. Sometimes he wears a hat, kind of like Freddy.
Yeah.
And, like, there was, like, a time when, like, I remember, like, sleep paralysis. Like, I had it, like, a couple, like, I felt it. It was never a condition like the people in that movie. If you haven't seen The Nightmare, it's a documentary by Rodney Asher, who I think is the dude that did the Shining documentary too. It's really, really good and creepy as hell.
Yeah.
Because sleep paralysis is terrifying.
Yeah, it's scary.
And I've experienced a couple times that you just, like, you can't move. Like, you're awake, but, like, your jaw is, like, stuck and you can't move.
Yeah.
And, like, these people see, like, visions of the tall, like, of this dark nope. No, sir. So to tie it into Freddy, I guess, a little bit. Yeah, that's really it.
Yeah, I'm sure there are more, but those ones, I always had a fear of the deep too. Just the water. Like,
oh, okay.
Like, if I can't see, if I'm at a point where I can no longer stand on the bottom, that is too far for me.
See, that would... I
can swim. I just have a fear of not being able to put my feet on the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I almost drowned in a wave pool when I was young.
Did you really?
I think at Disney or something.
Wow.
I was in the wave pool and, like, the lifeguard had to save my life.
I almost drowned in a lake Yes. And a lifeguard had to save my life.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Thank you to those lifeguards.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Wendy Peppercorn. Peppercorn. She's my favorite lifeguard.
Who was that?
From The Sandlot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought she may have been on Baywatch Nights.
No. No, there's not many lifeguards on Baywatch Nights.
No, there's not many. No. No.
There's a lot of detectives and scientists.
In the night. All right. Are we ready to move on?
Yes.
So one of your fears is clowns, right?
You must sure have
been is. Freaked out by this next movie.
It freaked me out a little bit as a kid.
They're kind of creepy.
They're kind of creepy. Yeah. I want to say, first of all, that the clown costumes are awesome.
Yeah, this is done by the Kyoto brothers, who... Yeah.
We should say this is Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Killer Clowns from Outer
which
Space.
Which I totally just started cutting into the review.
But. No, we're good. With Killer Clowns, the Kyoto brothers worked on, do you know this off the top of your head? I know they worked on Team America.
Yeah, they've done a bunch of
stuff,
actually.
But they did
cool
a lot of
effects
work. Were they Critters? I think they did Critters.
I like Critters.
Pee-wee's Big Adventure, they're on. Ernest Scared Stupid. Yeah, Team America. So they've done a lot of effects works. So they kind of created the puppets. So yeah, this is... by them, the Kyoto brothers. It's Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Yep.
Pretty short plot description here. I think it sums it up, though. Aliens who look like clowns come from outer space and terrorize a small town.
That's
much,
about it.
Much like the Blob. Yeah.
That's about it.
Willie, what'd you think of it?
It's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun. It's another kind of throwback to the old school sensibilities, yeah. Like those old B-movies. That basic plot, you know, like, oh, there's an asteroid. Let's go check it out. Oh, now it's an alien. But this time they're clowns. Just so silly.
But they're so cool. Oh, keep it.
Yeah.
Apparently, I just got really tired. They're so cool. Like, and they all have their own little personalities and characters. Like, there's the short little guy. He's kind of neat. And then there's, like, the big chubby guy. He's kind of fun, too.
Yeah.
The one part that freaked me out this time was with the... My favorite guy is the big chubby guy.
Yeah.
He's just so cool. He's just got a cool face. But the part that actually I remember freaked me out as a kid and still does is he's sitting outside like a fast food joint, like a Burger King or something. And he's got a mallet and he's like beckoning this little kid to come out.
Right.
And I'm like, oh my God, he's going to murder that child.
Uh-huh.
That part actually kind of freaked me out. The little guy's adorable though. Like when that mean motorcycle gang breaks his bike, I felt bad. I'm like, no. Like he kind of whimpers.
Yeah.
And he punches the dude's head off. Which is pretty sweet.
Yeah, sneaky gory. I think that's a quote on the back of the movie. It's kind of sneaky gory, this movie.
Yeah, it is.
It's not like super gory.
No. A little bit though.
Yeah. But for a movie called Killer Clowns from Outer Space, yeah.
It's a little gory. Yeah. I want to say too, one of my favorite things about this movie is when I was younger and now is the use of various carnival props or things that things that you remember from the carnival to kill people.
Yeah.
Like there's the cool popcorn gun. It shoots out like popcorn that kills you. And then there's the awesome way they store bodies in the cotton candy cocoons.
Mm-hmm.
And they like stick silly straws in and drink. It's so sweet. Like everything is clown themed.
Yeah.
But it's all kind of cool and scary and like, yeah, it's fun.
No, that's not to cut in.
No, you're good. You're good.
But
no, by all means.
That's part like I really, really like this movie.
Right? It's a ton of fun.
I mean, it's this weird movie where it does exactly what you want a Killer Clowns from Outer Space movie to do.
Right.
But it does stuff like you don't expect it to do. Like, it goes all in on the clown stuff.
It does.
And, like, you think of, I don't want to say if it was made today, but if it was made by someone less inventive than these guys are, like, it would probably just be Killer Clowns, like, murdering people with a knife or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, something like that. But they go all in with, like, the clown motif, and, like, the clowns do stuff like that.
They go full on. Like, like there's, like, little mini clown cars, and, like, it's so awesome.
And for the most part, it's played pretty straight. Everybody's terrified of these clowns killing them.
The only, like, goofball characters are the ice cream truck.
Yes.
Brothers.
Yeah, they're cartoon characters, but they're not like, I didn't think they were too wacky.
No,
I mean,
but
they're
just kind of
the
goofballs, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's this weird thing, and like I'm sitting there watching it, and I can't put my finger on this movie, like what exactly, I think we talked about this a little, what exactly is trying to do here, because you look at the title and you're like, oh, this is... It's like Sharknado or something like that, where like you're like they're trying snakes on a plane.
Oh yeah, that and where it's clearly on the nose. Like this is
trying,
supposed to be corny. Yeah.
Yeah, they're trying to make a cult movie here.
Yep.
But they go on about it in a way that is just it's so strange that like there's no choice for it to be a cult movie because I think some people might go in expecting something like wink wink, And they don't really get that with this. You don't really get that with this movie.
No.
It's just kind of weird. Like, it's just strange. It's not great. I don't think it's a fantastic movie. There's not a lot going on, but it's a really easy watch. And I think the reason I like it so much is, like, Snakes on a Plane to me. Like, remember that title was thrown around, like, years before they made it.
Yeah.
Or, like, for a long time before they made
it. It was a title before it was ever a script or anything, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was a joke. And you, Snakes on a Plane is an awesome concept for a movie.
Yeah.
But then you watch it, and it goes about everything. And so Snakes on a Plane is kind of dull. Like,
yeah.
The actual
Have you
movie.
Seen it?
Yeah.
How'd you get through it?
Or, no. Because they look like shit. The snakes
okay.
look like shit, yeah.
Okay.
Because, and Sam Jackson punches it. So it's kind of dull. And I guess I have seen most of Anaconda now that I think about it.
Yeah, it takes itself way too seriously.
Yeah.
Snakes on a Plane does.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I watch it on, like, FX. But it does it in such, like, an obvious and predictable way. But, like, this movie is, like, it just, like, it does nothing obvious or predictable. It's just so strange
yeah.
and inventive. Yeah. So it's not like that. And it's not like Sharknado either in that it never really, like, breaks the fourth wall or winks at the audience.
Right.
So I appreciate that.
They're not doing stunt casting.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. And I like all the leads in this, too, quite a bit. I think they're all a lot of fun.
No, me too. The two main leads are really funny.
Yeah?
I think they're really, or especially the guy.
They make kind of a cute 80s couple, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know her from, she was in one of the Return of the Living Dead movies, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this movie's just a lot of fun. And it's, I love I love how it ends with, like, a big boss battle, too.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The third act I want to talk about, because it's really cool.
Yeah.
Like, they build, like, this whole set.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. Have you ever seen Crime Wave? The Raimi?
Yes.
It reminded me of, there's that one segment in that where he kind of, like, races through a bunch of, like, weird sets.
Okay.
Yeah,
yep.
And it's kind of like a Looney Tunes type deal.
Yep.
That's what this reminded me of. Like,
yeah.
I couldn't put my finger on what I was watching here. It was so weird.
It's so, like, bizarre.
Because they look like fake sets. Like, at one point, it's just, like, wood in a triangle they're running through.
Right.
And you're like, this is wood in a triangle, but they're also on the spaceship that's also, like, a funhouse.
It works.
It totally works.
Yeah, really, what's amazing to me about this movie more than anything is this shows the, I don't know, when you've got an idea and you got a lot of heart, this is, you can accomplish a ton.
Yeah.
Like, these guys made a heck of a fun movie with very little money.
Yes.
And it all looks awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just, it's kind of a miracle this movie exists.
It's
kind of
sweet, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing I was thinking of, just, it feels like, because I was putting my finger on what it feels like, but it feels like, it almost feels like at times like a Troma or like John Waters type movie, but made for like kids in
yeah.
a way, like a kiddie version of that. Or the other thing I was thinking of, it feels like, and this is part of the reason I like it so much, it feels like an 80s, like 70s or 80s new wave band, but like one of the sillier kind of like a Devo or a B-52s.
Oh,
like,
okay.
If, like,
more self, a little more self-aware.
Like a self-aware,
little,
and
yeah.
just kind of kitschy
yep.
and funny, but still good.
But their music's still pretty good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I was thinking of. It's kind of like the tone of it, so.
Speaking of music.
Yeah.
The theme song by the Dickies is actually, it's pretty bitchin'.
Sweet.
It's pretty, like, I would listen to it.
I posted the song on our Twitter, but I posted the lyrics, and I can't.
It opens with a line about P.T. Barnum.
P.T. Barnum. And then there's a song like, they're wearing rubber noses on their face, bringing genocide to the human race.
So sweet. Yeah. It's actually really well written. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah, there's an irreverence to that song into the movie that are very charming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got a bit of a Ramones vibe about it, doesn't it?
Thank you, Ramones.
Yeah, like
yeah.
a Pet Sematary. Liz, they wrote Pet Sematary,
yeah.
which is actually kind of a cool song.
It is kind of a cool song.
Yeah.
It's one of the better later Ramones songs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Yep. But no, this is well worth watching.
Cheeky.
Yeah.
Cheeky.
Yeah, cheeky.
Yeah.
Cheeky. Yeah. Big fan of this one. Glad I revisited it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of a favorite as a kid because I was equal parts, like, amused and scared of it, you know?
Yeah.
But now I'm just really...
Yeah, I never really saw it when I was younger.
No, I just have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got the Blu-ray. I want to dig into the special features. I haven't yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are probably very interesting.
Yeah.
I know they've kicked around the idea of a sequel for a long time.
They have, yeah. I haven't heard much.
I think at this point, maybe we let it go. I would actually prefer maybe them just... I don't know. Like, do you do a remake of this at this point?
I don't think you do anything with it.
Just leave it alone,
just
right?
Just leave it alone. It's
yeah.
kind of... It's perfect as it is. I mean, in its own way. In its own silly way.
Would you prefer... So if they did... If they were, like, if somebody's like, we're making a new Killer Clowns movie, like, it's going to happen. There's
mm-hmm.
nothing you can do to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Would you prefer like a remake with like a new director and new everybody, or would you prefer that Kyoto's being involved and doing more of a like a Lego sequel, if you will? I know that's a big thing that gets kicked around nowadays is Lego sequel, but
I would just honestly, I guess it would be a Lego sequel in a way. I would just have the clowns come back to Earth and kill more kids.
Cool.
Yeah,
that works.
And maybe with better effects, but the effects are part of its charm.
They are part of its charm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I wouldn't want to see that much either.
Yeah. No. I don't know. Maybe just leave it alone. But it's worth watching.
Oh, I'm for leaving it alone, but if they did it, I'd watch it.
Yeah.
If those guys did it, especially.
You'd be totally cool with it.
But I think it would end up being like Phantasm 5 or something was.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
like I watched it and I went, oh, good for them. They did it. I didn't hate it. But
yeah. But I'm not going to watch it again.
I kind of rather they didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I gotcha.
Anything else on Killer Clowns?
No. Just maybe watch out. Watch out for the Killer Clowns. Mm-hmm. They're dangerous.
All right. That's 1988.
It is 1988.
Hope you had fun, everybody.
We had fun.
Yeah, we did.
We sure did.
Really? You want to move? What are we doing next time?
We got to find out right now.
Okay.
Do you want to give the people our feedback places while I find out what we're doing next?
Yeah. Hit us up on Twitter at HM Yearbook. Hit us up on Facebook. Type in Horror Movie Yearbook in the search bar. I'm pretty sure it will pop up. HorrorMovieYearbook.com. HorrorMovieYearbook@gmail.com is our email address. I think that's it. Go listen to the other podcasts on the Midwest Podcast Network. Bunch of episodes of The Film Nerds. We just did a 2016 wrap-up about a month or so ago. The boys over at the Game Nerds have been playing Zelda and Mass Effect Babylon, probably. I don't know. Sounds like something they'd call it.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they've been playing that. They did a Switch thing. I think he's still up on Twitch somewhere under Midwest Game Nerds. Yeah. Check us out.
I have selected our year.
Okay.
We're taking a trip back to the 90s.
All right. Let's do it.
We're actually only going a couple years after this year. We're going to 1990.
I was hoping we would do, like, because we haven't done it like a beginning of the decade yet, have we? Nice work.
No, I think the closest we did that was it was 2002, I think. I don't think we've done one. Well, we did 99.
Okay.
So that's kind of, but anyway, we're doing 1990. Only a couple years past when we're at now, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Want to hear some of the movies?
I'm looking at them right now, but go for it.
Jacob's Ladder.
Okay.
Exorcist 3.
Okay.
Nightbreed. Misery.
Ooh.
Tremors.
Ooh.
Tales from the Dark Side, the movie.
Uh-huh.
Child's Play 2.
Uh-huh.
The Night of the Living Dead remake.
Mm-hmm.
Gremlins 2, The New Batch.
Gremlins 2, The New Batch, one of my favorites of all time, but I'm not necessarily sure.
Arachnophobia. Flatliners. Graveyard Shift. Leatherface, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3. Two Evil Eyes. Cat in the Brain.
Cat in the Brain. Cat in the Brain. I just watched Cat in the Brain, actually.
There you go.
Yeah.
Frankenhooker.
Head and Looter?
Yep.
Yep.
Predator 2, Death by Temptation.
Death by Temptation, Sammy J and Kadeem Hardison. I believe it's a trauma movie. It's like a...
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Psycho 4, The Beginning, Hardware, Brain Dead, Basket Case 2.
Oh, The Guardian.
Yep, The Guardian. There's a lot.
You know what? This isn't a bad year.
It's not a bad year.
Troll 2.
Oh, no, we're not doing that.
Oh, Darkman, but that's not... Darkman's not a horror movie.
The Witches.
Darkman, for a while, was probably the best Batman movie.
Daughter of Darkness with Mia Sara and Anthony Perkins. That's got to be steamy. Yeah, so anyway, looking pretty good. Not sure what we're going to pick yet, but we'll let you know as we...
Ooh, Silent Night, Deadly Night 4.
Here.
I bought a vampire motorcycle.
That sounds pretty awesome. I would expect we're probably going to talk about Nightbreed, right?
The ones I was thinking, like, oh, yeah, when you were naming them off. Yeah, Nightbreed was one of them. Misery. Didn't we have a request for Misery?
I'd love to talk about Misery.
I kind of want to do Misery, too. Tremors.
Tremors would be a lot of fun. Exorcist 3 would be a lot of fun. We like to avoid sequels, I think, generally. Mm-hmm. But Exorcist 3 almost isn't really a sequel.
Yeah.
I don't know. That might be one worth checking out.
Arachnophobia is a blast.
Arachnophobia is great.
Flatliners is good.
It's actually, I just watched it again.
Yeah.
It's more of a horror movie than I remember.
Okay. Okay, yeah, because I didn't remember it being a horror movie.
I mean, I would still put it in the thriller category or suspense category, but it's got more horror elements than I remember.
Not sure how I feel about Jacob's Ladder.
I'd rather not revisit that one right now. Anyway, we'll figure it out. We'll announce them, or we'll kind of, you know.
Yeah, we'll announce them at some point.
Yeah, exactly. You'll know. You're either with us or you're not at this point, right?
Right, yeah, exactly.
We've either completely ruined horror movies for you. Anyway, thanks again, guys. You're all awesome. Thanks for leaving us all the feedback.
Yes.
We really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And we'll be back next time.
In 1990. Only a couple years later.
Yeah.
Excellent. We're still be wearing the same clothes pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm sure some of those Michael Jackson songs are still charting.
Well, I won't be because I'll be four now. I'll have outgrown my 2-year-old stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Grown out of the terrible twos.
Yeah.
The Fantastic Fours.
Fantastic Fours indeed.
Woof. All right.
All right.
Bye bye, man and woman. Well,